Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. It's great to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in very windy Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and producer, and I've been out on a book tour. I can't wait to tell you about it. And our question of the day, though, is about Easter. Favorite Dolan family Easter memory. What do you got, Jewel? What's your fave memory?
Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I used to love finding the little peeps in our stone wall weeks after the Easter egg hunt in our backyard. That it was like a treasure to find some old Easter eggs afterwards. Oh, excellent.
Liz, how about you?
Yeah, because peeps don't taste bad enough when they're fresh.
No,
right?
I like them aged. Yes.
I feel like for Easter, we always got like shiny new shoes. We got like Sunday shoes and socks. We got fresh socks and shoes. And that's, I think of Easter, I think of us in fresh socks and shoes. I know that's weird, but that's my memory, Leanne. How about you?
Well, I remember the Easter egg hunts at Aunt Eleanor's house. So yeah. I don't really remember mom and dad doing Easter egg hunts because I wasn't born yet, but Aunt Eleanor put up a great Easter egg hunt and it was just chaos. And the boys were me. They just, it was like a tackle sport. I mean, it wasn't gentle.
It wasn't nice at all. No.
Yeah. Things could get aggressive, but you know, good training for later life.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, today on the show, we have a lot going on. We did a special show last week. We had a little spring break. So we have a good news. We're back segment. Good news. Yes. We're back. What good news has happened since we last recorded a show. We also are going to talk about, we have some entertaining sisters happening. Oh, I have a magazine roundup. Remember magazines? I'm still getting a couple.
Wow. There are not many left.
They are going down every week, but Health Magazine and Real Simple keep delivering to my house. So I'm going to do that. Julie, you usually bring us Tuesday trends, but today you're a contrarian on trends. What's happening?
It's Tuesday, not trends day. I'm going to bring you stories that are allegedly trends, but these are not trends. They're false. They're all false. This is not happening. They're not real. And I'm bringing it to the satellite sister.
You're blowing the whistle. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And Liz, you're bringing us a really unsettling story from the LA Times, correct?
Yeah. There was a lot of Hollywood news while we were gone, but one of the bigger, more unsettling stories didn't really get the attention that I think it deserves. So yeah, I'm bringing it back. But first, good news roundup.
Right? Yeah,
like good news. Because we've had a couple of specials the last few weeks. So there have been things happening in the news that we did not have a chance to comment on. Let's start with number one good thing. The Senate confirmed Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court, making her the first Black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. And I say the more the merrier when it comes to women on the court. Right, sisters?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
It was super emotional to see her and her family. And, you know, obviously, out of 115 justices that have served over the course of our history, only six have been women. So, you know, more, I say. So four are now serving: KBJ, as they call her, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Amy Coney Barrett. So, you know, and of course, the original, the OG, Sandra Day O'Connor, and then RBG. So that's pretty much your crew, half a dozen solid gold satellite sisters. So I think that's good. Good news number one. Number two, Coda won Best Picture. So I would like to thank the Academy.
I mean, Liz, you picked this movie early on. I had never heard of it. You said it's great. We yes. should all watch it.
Yes.
And there it is, winning the Academy Awards.
I know. Unexpected, right? I was talking to our sister Monica about this over the weekend. She's like, I saw it. I thought it was a really, really, really good picture, but Best Picture, I don't know. And my policy is I don't care either. This was the year where I think it's good. I could have won. Monica watched that obscure Japanese movie, Drive My Car, or Drive
right.
Your Car, or whatever it does. She thought that should have won. I was like, no, Coda all the way. So thank you, Academy. You don't do much right, but I think you did do that right. And then the third news item I want to mention is that the women's NCAA basketball tournament was finally allowed to use the term March Madness this year.
I had no idea.
That is insane. That they
isn't that insane.
What was that, Liz?
I cannot even explain that. And I've been in some of those rooms, some of those times where people are rationalizing something because it wasn't the full bracket. I really don't know. But anyway, yay for March Madness across the board. Everybody gets a little March Madness now. And also almost 6 million viewers tuned in to watch the women's final, South Carolina versus UConn. So that's the most watched women's basketball game in two decades. So yay, more madness, more viewers, more women's basketball. Yay. So another good thing.
All right. I would like to add to the good news category, just Lady Gaga on all fronts.
Oh, God, yes.
She's now, first of all, I think she should just, along with Alicia Keys, I think they both positioned themselves as the most talented humans on the planet, mm-hmm. who also are super nice humans on the
yes.
planet.
Yes.
So I'm fine if Alicia Keys and Lady Gaga host
maybe Dolly
everything.
Parton, do you want to add her?
And
to
Dolly, okay.
Thank you.
Lady Gaga, okay. Dolly, and Alicia Keys can host everything. They can give every award out. They can announce everything for the foreseeable future. I think that's the way to go. But she delivered at the Oscars. She delivered at the Grammys when she, you know, helped a winner onto the stage with her long dress. I mean, she'd be a great bridesmaid. She'd do great in elder care. I mean, she's just really proved herself yep. to be fantastic.
To be sincerely nice.
Yes.
You love that.
Yes. Yes. And then I, for one, was happy to see Bennifer back together again. I mean, J-Lo and Bennifer got engaged.
Okay.
It's the best.
I don't know how I missed that, but I missed
yeah.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck got engaged again 20 years later. I mean, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. I mean, it's a romantic tale. If they're happy, I'm happy for them. Hey, we all have to be happy because there was some big pickleball news while we were away. Washington State signed legislation. They actually voted on this to name pickleball as the state's official sport. How about that? Actually, did you know pickleball was invented in the state of Washington in Bainbridge Island? That's where it was.
No.
Yep. There was some guys they wanted to do it for their kids. The kids were bored. They lowered a badminton net and they came up with these paddles, and lo and behold, pickleball.
Pickleball. How about
that? And now it's the official sport of Washington State. So
yeah, I think the one thing it really has going for it is that it is just fun to say, you know. So I think that's why people like to talk about it, because right. Otherwise there's just not much excuse for how much people are talking about pickleball.
Okay. Point well made, Liz. Yes.
All right. Well, that's all good news.
Yeah.
You know what else was great news? Oh, all the Satellite Sisters and Misters and friends and family at my two big book events this week.
Yay!
I mean, if I can just turn the camera on me. I had so much fun at the opening event, the big launch at Vroman's in Pasadena last week. 80 solid people showing up, people from all parts of my life. The family was represented. My whole family was there. Liz was there. Friends, I looked out in the audience, women and men I have known for 20 plus years in Pasadena. Lots of Satellite Sisters listeners came, which was fantastic. You know, people who just read my books and don't actually know me or my family or Satellite Sisters. I was so joyful at that event. It was just great to be out and about and see people. That was the first sort of old school book event Vroman's had held in 2.5 years.
Like, unticketed,
come on in. Everybody is welcome. Oh, my gosh. It was fun. Wasn't it, Liz?
Yeah, it was really fun. Well, first of all, Leanne, you are really good at it. You're like, you are just a great presenter of your own work. It all sounds super like casual and off the cuff, which I know that it is 100% not how much you prepare for that. You were interviewed by Rico Galliano, who was fun to be with. So he was like a perfect wingman for you. That was fun. No, it was super great. And then everyone was just happy to be together. You know, we're still all in this place where when we do something like that, it's the first time we've done it.
It's still novel. And Leanne, you have been toiling away at home, and for you to be out and about, the pictures were fabulous. You're getting fabulous reviews on your dress, your shoes, and your hair, everything. It's all working. So good for you.
In the book.
Oh, yeah, of course, the book. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to thank my good friend, Susan, for all the photos. She's been our family's official photographer for 20 years now. And so she had a standing, come on over. She took all the photos, got them to me. And then Trina for my hair, who was also a big reader, and she brought her whole book club to the event. So
how nice is that?
Yeah, it was just super. It was really fun for me. I was pretty nervous all day. You know, they're live events. I haven't been out in a while. You know, can I stand on these 3-inch espadrilles for more than an hour? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible anymore. But I went and I pre-signed 300 books. So thank you to the Satellite Sisterhood for doing all that pre-ordering. It's so important on so many levels for me professionally. Great support for Vroman's bookstore. It was just fantastic to see so many familiar names that I was inscribing or the book was being sent to. I really appreciated that. The Vroman's team did a great job. It was just kind of exhilarating. It was really fun. And then I hit the road and drove to Northern California, which if you're tracking is 400 miles. So Friday drove up to Northern California. I taught an all-day workshop on Saturday. And then we had a great event at Book Passage on Sunday. And I just... great crew of Satellite Sisters there. And the best was Satellite Sisters who brought their Satellite Sisters. Extra credit for that.
Yeah.
It was really nice to meet you, Tiffany and Jan and Kathy and Carolyn. Carolyn brought us all dog treats. So I'm going to get those in the mail to you, Julie.
Thank you,
Carolyn. Yeah, she knows what she's doing in the dog treat world. I had friends in Pasadena who sent their friends. I had friends in Pasadena who sent their mothers. There was quite a few people in the audience over 90 years old. Vibrant, reading, fantastic people. My friend Louise, my college friend, hosted and was my book escort. And I had a bunch of college friends there. And my brother-in-law came and my niece came. And Liz, your college roommate came. It was really fun. It was very energizing, even though it was exhausting. Like I drove home yesterday and we all got on a conference call at 1 and I was like, I'm lying down. I don't usually lie down
during the conference calls, but she was vertical. She was horizontal. Yes.
Like, when you're the star of the show, you're doing all of the talking during the presentation.
Yeah.
And then all of the talking with every single person who's getting a book signed. It's talk, 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 talk.
It is a lot of talk. It is a lot of talk. And again, I haven't even talked that much in 2.5 years. So I'm building it up because I'm doing more events, but I just want to mention this Wednesday. Okay. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on drop day. So April 13th, I am doing 2 Crowdcast virtual book clubs. These book clubs are for people who have read the book already because there will be spoilers. So I'm doing one at 7 p.m. Eastern. And when it's 7 p.m. Pacific, I have spread the links everywhere I can on the Facebook group. They're on my events page. They, you know, I'm tweeting them out. You can just Google Leon Dolan Crowdcast and get to my events. I would love to have people there who have already read the book. All you have to do is put in an email and you'll be registered. And I did a bunch of these for the Sweeney sisters and they were really fun. So if you've read the book and you want to dish about it, let's do it. And everyone who's posted pictures, posted reviews, thank you so much. You know, people who have done posted good reviews on Amazon and then checked all the other good reviews on Amazon, fantastic work. People ordering from their libraries, great work, Street Team. I appreciate it. People, you know, recommending it to friends. I appreciate all of it. So it's been just a really joyous week. And I have a couple of days off and then I hit the road again next week. Just doing a lot of speaking around Southern California. But okay. Thank you so much. The support has been amazing.
Okay. Well, good work, Leon. So Leon, Leon and Liz, have you gotten your 4th booster shot yet?
I have not. Have you gotten yours?
Well, here's what I did. I wanted to find out about getting mine. So my husband and I checked with our doctor about getting the 4th booster shot. You know, I was on to getting the vaccine early on. I kind of saw myself as the vaccine hunter, and I wanted to find out what I should do about this 4th shot. And so our doctor suggested that we get an antibody test first. So I went to have my antibody test. And sisters,
yeah,
I have never been more proud of my test score. I got a note from my doctor that said my result score, my actual score, was in the very robust category.
Oh.
And my number is so high that my doctor suggested that maybe I wait to get the.
Okay,
because my score is going to have to drop a lot before I'm even in the range. I mean, I now feel like a person, you know, those people that's even though 20, 30, 40 years ago, they took the SAT, somehow they managed to sprinkle into conversation that they got a nearly perfect SAT score.
You know, right.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I am going to get a t-shirt that says, ask me about my antibody score. Or maybe I should just get a little t-shirt that says very robust on it. What do you think?
That's okay. Pretty sexy.
That's yeah. Really?
Okay. Yeah. Or, but I'm looking for a group. I want to join a group of people with very robust antibody scores, you know, sort of like a Mensa group for me, you know. I'm over the moon, sisters. Okay. Okay. I can't even tell you how.
Yeah, we can hear it. That's
I know. It's
quite
exciting.
An accomplishment.
My husband did not have a very robust score. No, not at all.
But I think he had a better SAT score. Is that correct?
Leon, your antibody score seems like the only score that really matters now.
Yep.
So he did get his 4th a booster shot. I'm going to be monitoring my antibody score, obviously, from here on in. I'm going to be spending time with other very robust people and sharing information. So again, we're not doctors. We're just sisters. You're going to have to do your own investigation for getting that 4th booster. But I'm just saying.
Congratulations, Julie.
You have a lot to be proud about.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank we're proud of you. We're going to send a trophy.
Okay. I like that.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leon. Leon, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leon on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. That all the time, but that is one of it's in my toolbox, my prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leon. You've just got a good hair game thanks to
thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine, and that is why I love my prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, Prose, for great hair. Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leon, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. It's better than many families. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
We're back. We're the Satellite Sisters. Okay, there was a lot of Hollywood news over the last couple of weeks. We're not going to talk about that. But Liz, there was a sort of a really unsettling story in the Los Angeles Times that you're going to bring us up to date on, right?
Yeah, Leon. I think that everyone saw the news that Bruce Willis's family said he was retiring from acting because he has aphasia. So that's a cognitive disorder. It's memory loss and all kinds of other things. So that was super sad. And I think the headline people saw. But the LA Times did a major story about this just a couple of days after the announcement, because they had actually been working on it for a while. They kept hearing around Hollywood that Bruce Willis was working and making just a lot of, as everyone kept saying, making a lot of bad movies, and that he was not well, and yet he was continuing to work. So they had been investigating this for a while. And I think that's probably why the family announced that he was going to retire. But when you dig into the details of what was going on, it was just, to me anyway, so much worse than just the sadness of him having a disease that was preventing him from working. Because as I said, he had made 22 movies in the last 4 years. Wow. Okay.
In the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of the pandemic, and none of them were good. So you're making 22 bad movies. And these were like straight to VOD kind of movies. So it was, he was just getting paid, believe it or not, he was getting paid $2 million per movie for 2 days of work. And then when he would go in to do the work, he couldn't really do his own lines. He couldn't remember them. Oh, so he had, I know, Julie, it's just
that's
so sad.
I mean, the decline is real and, you know.
It's so
hard to hear about it. Yeah.
So he had what's called an earwig, which is he had like an earpiece in his ear and he had someone reading him his lines so that he could do his lines. In any of the action scenes, it's a Bruce Willis movie. There are a lot of action scenes. They were using a body double for that. But in addition to like this payment he was getting, the people that were like signing him up to do this work, he's got a producing partner who was himself was getting paid $200,000 for every movie Bruce Willis was in. Then the earwig was also getting paid more to and getting his own side roles. So as you read the story, you just couldn't help but think, well, this is abuse. This is exploitation. Mm-hmm. Like you really started to worry about who was just maxing him out to make as much money as they possibly could. And so in the story, they talked, the reporters from the LA Times talked to several gerontology experts and elder abuse experts. And, you know, some of them said, yeah, this does not seem like something he should be doing at this point, given where he is in his disease. Like, for instance, on one movie set, Julie, 2 years ago, he unexpectedly fired a gun loaded with a blank on the wrong cue. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we know now how deadly that can be.
Right.
But anyway, so on the one hand, you think, is he just being exploited by these people who are trying to take all of his money? But on the other hand, other elder abuse people were saying, well, he might have just wanted to keep working no right. matter what. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that he was the one insisting like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm going to go out there. And that the people around him were trying to let him do that, but just protect him from things that would be embarrassing to him, like not knowing his lines or not being able to do the action sequences. So, and I know we lived through something like this with our father when he had, you know, in the early stages of his dementia, Alzheimer's dementia, where there was an insistence that he wanted to keep doing what right. he was doing. It's very hard when you're the person around, the people around the person to like prevent them from doing what they want to do, right? Remember how difficult that was?
That was yeah. hard. I mean, you know, our brother Dick was the one who had to talk to our dad and take the, you know, car keys away. And,
yeah.
you know, when, and that was hard. He did, you know, he definitely wanted to continue to drive and he resented that he couldn't drive. And, you know, he felt like he should have all the independence he always had. And, you know, and we were, his family around him could see that he needed more help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He was working on writing things and he was convinced when he moved here that he was going to be setting up a lot of meetings in Hollywood. I mean, he yeah. really believed that. And, yeah. you know, they, people have rights and they have dignity and you want to honor that.
Exactly.
I remember driving him to some pretty crazy appointments for some of this stuff. It was just, it's hard to know when to really assert yourself and say, no, this is over. We're not going to maintain yeah. this. I think the whole time I was reading that piece about Bruce Willis, I was just thinking how stressful that must have been for everybody involved, mm-hmm. for him. You know, if it was his decision, it was still stress. He was very stressed right. on the right. set, for everyone on the set, because what a wild card he was. And, you know, Hollywood sets have lots and lots of people on them and the stakes are high and there's, you know, there's plenty of people. That's how they make their work. And it just, for the other actors he was engaging with, that must have been stressful. I just thought, ooh, that was yeah. 4 years of a lot of stress for right. everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, Leanne, and even for the LA Times journalists, they said, you know, they were getting a lot of information from people about this, which is why they were doing the reporting
right.
on it. But they didn't really want to be the ones to just out him. Right. They wanted to protect his dignity. So even though they were reporting the story, they hadn't gone to print with anything because they just didn't know when it would be appropriate to go to print. They didn't want to out him. So then that's why when the family finally announced it, even the journalists said, we were so relieved that the family, that he could say what he wanted to say and that the family could put out there the way they wanted to tell the story, the way they wanted to tell the story. So then all of the research they had done about what was really going on behind the scenes, they felt okay putting that out there. The only thing that's different though in Hollywood versus say our dad is right. that when you have a lot of people where their whole living depends on you continuing to work. I mean,
right.
even just think about his agents. His agents are taking 10% of $2 million for 2 days of work times many, if the dozens of movies. Like, people just don't have an incentive to turn that off.
Right.
So that's why, as you read the story, you think, oh my God, this could have been really tragic on a movie set, but also a very dark set of human motivations is what you start to think about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a super sad story. And of course, you know, for him, we wish him all the best. I just thought it was worth talking about what was behind the scenes on that particular news announcement.
Right. And it did get buried in all the post-Oscar
yes,
stuff. It did. I think it would have been sort of a more discussed story. People discussed his diagnosis, but not sort of this behavior. So we're taking a look at particularly, if you're interested in this or we're taking a look at the original article.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah. Okay. Moving next now to my magazine roundup. You know, I like to save the magazine industry one issue at a time.
How's that going, Leanne? It seems like it's hard work these days, right?
I mean, when I lost in style. Oh gosh. That was a downer. When I lost in style, I felt a personal blow. Like, because I mean, I have enjoyed many issues of In Style. That is a fantastic plane magazine. And I think, what am I going to read on the plane now? I mean, it was always In Style. So shout out though to this month's Health magazine. It's the one with Laverne Cox on the cover. It's a great issue. And if you're out there, maybe you're in an airport right now, go and pick this one up because there's a chock full of information. And there is a great menu at the end of it. Great recipes for a great party that I'm going to host someday in June. When I'm done with this book tour, I'm making every recipe in this issue. It looks that good.
Okay. That's a good recommendation.
All right. So a couple things though, there's a term in here, you know, health magazine. It's a lot of vague health things. Literally just trying to find the article I circled. All right. Okay. This is a term I had not heard. Okay. So, you know, busy, 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 you're busy, busy, busy. Remember the 20 or 30 years, Julie, when you never sat down with kids and
right,
working, and,
right.
yeah, traveling and
I, right. Yeah.
So, okay. So imagine the opposite of that. There's a term that psychologists call time affluence. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, no.
Where you have extra time. And I feel like I understand it now because that's what happens with the empty nest. We had a question about that on the Facebook group the other day, like, hey, tell me what I should do with the empty nest. And there's just so much extra time. It's time affluence, girls. That's what it is. You have extra time. All of a sudden, 4 to 6 opens up. You're not driving around. You're not cooking people dinners. You're not going to baseball practice or football practice or ballet practice. It's amazing. The weekends are endless when you're not going to debate.
No, is this boredom? Is time affluence boredom, Leanne?
No. Well, Julie, I mean, good for you if you're lucky enough to have time affluence. So Ellen Fay here from Health Magazine, she's a certified productivity leadership coach.
That's
a lot of words after Ellen's name, isn't it?
Whoa.
Okay. So she said, here's how you can build time affluence if you don't have it. Start by establishing your priorities. Plan out your week. Schedule the basics first, like sleep and work, and then plug in the fixed items like meetings and appointments. And Liz and Jewel, be sure to include me time. Me time on that list. You know, we love me time.
I haven't heard her mention kids or dogs or anything. Will you just jettison those? That's going to create some time affluence.
I know. That's it. Okay. And then plan a meeting-free day to address the nagging must-dos that are taking up emotional space. So that's mainly nonsense, but I did like the term time affluence. So if you're wondering what the empty nest is like, it's just an abundance of free time. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess some people don't enjoy that, but Leanne, you seem to have really enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it. I took up dancing. I go to the 4 o'clock yoga classes. I'm reading more books. Yeah, you don't have to go grocery shopping as much. Liz, time affluence.
Okay.
Time affluence. The first like 6 months, we had the empty nest. My husband and I took a nap every Saturday, and not together, not a sexy nap, just a nap. Just we were asleep.
Living the good life.
Woo, time affluence. Okay. Another health health magazine piece. Meet the greens. Okay. I know we're all trying to eat more greens, right? So Julie and Liz, I just want you to think about incorporating greens in your life.
Is this now, the kale talk again, Leanne?
Julie, I know you hate kale. So kale is of course on the list, right? The lacinato kale, that dinosaur kale, it's on the list. But I want to offer this up as an alternative.
Okay.
To see if you'd enjoy this one. This one's for you. Beet greens. How do you feel about beet greens, Julie? The tops of beets. Do you eat beets in general?
No, I don't like beets, but maybe I'd like the greens on top. I'd be game okay. for that.
So I wouldn't suggest buying the beets and then tossing them out. Just eat the greens.
That's probably what I would do. Yeah.
How does Swiss chard sound to you then, Julie? Is that
better? Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. I can do Swiss chard.
Yep. Yeah. You can enjoy both the stems mm-hmm. and the leaves though. So yep. the stems can take a little bit longer to cook, but full of vitamin A. So that's Julie, that's your green. Okay. Liz.
Yeah.
Liz, here's one you probably haven't thought of since our mom made those tea sandwiches in the early 80s. Watercress.
Oh,
I love it. Mm.
Do you ever buy watercress, Liz?
I don't believe in my lifetime I have ever bought watercress.
Yeah. I mean, I know you enjoy the arugula, but I do. Oh, it's often overlooked, Health Magazine says, but it's spicy and tangy and it's good for your bones, Liz. That's why I thought about it.
And then you just take some white bread and mayo, salt and pepper, slap that watercress in there. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So
watercress, often overlooked. It sounds like the Watercress Information Center is putting out press releases. Don't sleep on watercress, people.
All right. So there you go. Time affluence, Swiss chard, and watercress. Thank you, Health Magazine. All right. Now we're going to Real Simple. And, you know, they are still printing. I don't know how, you know, but they're still in business. Keep it up, Real Simple. As I've said before, most of their pieces now are just extended Instagram posts, but that's okay. All right. So this one, Real Simple, is going to tell us about power dressing. All right. And here's what you need to know. It's mainly idiotic advice, but because it's not like it's coming from Vogue, you know, it's like power dressing for people who literally have been wearing overalls since 1992, you know, so that's good news. All right. So here are a couple trends I have for from Real Simple power dressing. Mm-hmm. Okay. This one this one alarms me. Okay. Embrace your inner cartoon character. Julie, Liz, are you interested in that?
Wow.
Okay.
Please.
That's not starting off well at all.
Oh, no, I reject that completely. Okay.
Well, here's the example they give, and I will allow it in this case. If you are a fourth grade science teacher and you think it would be fun to dress like Mrs. Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, go for it. Because that's kids love
okay.
that.
Okay. So, I agree fantastic. With that allowance.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I realized with my book tour, I am sort of picking up a lot of things that sort of look like the book cover, a little bit like a cartoon character. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, not Mrs. Frizzle level, but there you go. Okay.
Okay.
There you go. All right. This made me
wait, can I just ask one more? So seriously, they gave that piece of advice to like normal women going to normal jobs?
Yeah. Yes, they did, Liz. That's like a cartoon character. Okay.
Liz is alarmed by that. Yes.
I mean, yeah, if you had called safe for work with that as a question, that would have been too loud.
All right. How about this one? Swap and shop in mom's closet. Okay. You're a grown woman. You don't have to wear your mother's clothes unless it's like a poochy dress from the 70s. But okay. Go for it. If your mom still has a closet, go for it. Real Simple says you can swap and shop in mom's closet.
Yeah.
Okay. This is always good advice. Find something that works, then buy two.
Yes, I agree with that.
Fine.
Yeah. White t-shirt. Yeah, get two of them. Yes.
Fine. We agree with that. Real Simple. Mm-hmm. And then this is also very French, and we agree with this. Invest in the best you can afford. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, one signature piece is better than two like disposable fashion pieces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sure. Do that. Do that. But cartoon character, no thanks.
I don't see how any of this is generating power, Leanne, which was the place of your, I'm not getting any energy from any of those ideas, but okay.
Yeah. Julie, okay. I have to agree with you. It's okay. I have to agree with you.
Okay. Well, you know, on Tuesdays, I try to do trends. And while we were not doing shows, I was constantly looking for trends for this show. What were we going to talk about? And this week, sisters, I am coming to you with things that are not trends. These are items that have been in the media. They purport to be trends that we need to find out about, but none of these things are actually going to catch on or work, or you're not going to do it. So okay. It's a lot like your power dressing. Okay. First one, Liz. Okay.
Yes.
Definitely not a trend. $1,000 bottles of rum. This is supposed to be a new thing. You know, there was very expensive scotch. So yeah. Now we're going to have super duper expensive bottles of rum. Who are there five people in the world that are going to buy $1,000 bottles of rum? Who's going to buy?
Yeah, no. Okay. I'm with you there. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Leon, for you, okay, yeah. This is Prada. It was in their spring line. Everyday dresses, not a wedding dress, but like an everyday dress, maybe, you know, sleeveless sheath with a train.
Oh, just wow. Just
imagine that. Okay. So a short dress mm-hmm. with a train. Okay, that you are going to wear to work, maybe go out to lunch, maybe a museum. What do you think?
Well, you're going to need Lady Gaga to follow you around all day to adjust your train. Seems impractical, Julie. Seems impractical.
It just,
Julie, this is more than a like Sheila Dolan Hilo.
No, this is a train. You can look online, Prada, their spring line, short dress, long train. You're going to get a cut. I mean, can you imagine? You're going to get stuck in the door. It's going to be on the sidewalk. It's going to be disgusting. Yeah. Okay. It's just not happening. People aren't going to do this. All right. This one, they have a website. I read this story. I've seen it around. Rent a Bridesmaid. There is a site, rentabridesmaid.com, where you can go and you can rent a bridesmaid to be in your wedding. This will be a highly attractive woman that will show up. She'll wear whatever bridesmaid dress you have. She'll participate in all the events. She'll be cheery, happy, no drama. She'll do all the right things.
Okay. And as people write these stories, they are purporting that this has in fact happened in places.
Yes. This is supposed to be a real thing. So
no, you're right, Julie.
This nobody's going to do this. I mean, to me, this seems like a stunt trying to be a reality TV show, you know, like someone, wouldn't that be funny if we did that? Or that was that, if it was, and then we'll turn it into a reality TV show mm-hmm. of professional bridesmaids, right?
Okay. No, wow. Now she's producing TV in her closet.
Okay.
I think this only works as TV if like Lady Gaga is starring.
Right.
In.
Right. It's just, who's going to believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you show up at a family wedding and there's like a pro in the line coming down the procession, like who is that? Right.
Nobody's falling for that. You're
just
right.
An element of sadness to that. That you would have to rent a bridesmaid. Like I just don't have bridesmaids. I don't know. You know, those are, yeah, just do whatever it's, you bring your dogs.
That is not a trend. That is not going to happen. Okay.
Okay.
And finally, I read this. It's supposed to be a trend. Big tech is now going to tackle menopause. Okay. All right. They're coming at our age group with apps and websites and gadgets and blah, 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 and product. And so here's what I say to big tech, okay?
Like, I can't wait to hear this.
Proceed at your own caution, okay? Because if you think that you're going to make money off of menopausal women, okay, first of all, your product better work, okay? It doesn't, because we have opinions, okay? Right? We're menopausal women. Yeah. That is not good. Work, right?
Yeah, we speak up for ourselves. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That is not going to work. Okay. Yeah,
because big tech, I mean, AKA men,
bros. Yeah. Bros. Yeah, like they just want to make money off women, right? That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And are they out of their minds to target that as a subgroup, Liz, to market?
Well, it's well, let's just say there is a need. I mean,
yes, no, I agree.
Obviously, a big market, but that's not where I would turn for the solutions, the broy bro crowd.
No.
Okay, good point, Julie. We're not going to stand for that.
Okay.
Somebody in our cohort, as they would say in marketing, somebody in our cohort needs to figure that out.
Okay. They're warned. All right. That's it. None of these are going to work as trends.
Okay. Well, one trend that is happening, I want to shout out to our compatriots over there at Happier in Hollywood. You know, Sarah Fain and Liz Craft. They have identified a trend that I can't believe we missed, and it's wristscaping. All right. This is where you have three or four different bracelets or leather straps or beaded things on your wrist, and they all have meaning, and like they become your signature wristscape. Oh. I mean, well done, women. Well done, Liz and Sarah. I mean,
I know.
We had tablescaping. We've talked about landscaping. We've talked about manscaping, but we have missed the wristscaping trend. So congratulations.
Yes.
I applaud you. You're doing fantastic work over there on Happier in Hollywood. If you haven't listened to that podcast, check it out. It's about two working Hollywood screenwriters, but it's also about things like wristscaping. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Yes. Trademark that immediately.
Yeah, fantastic idea. I bow down.
Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box, Liz. Get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is Osea. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, we are back. This is Liz and Leon. At your book reading last week, there were quite a few Satellite Sisters in the audience who asked me, "Where's Cooking with Liz been? Like, what's the deal? When's the next episode?" And you know, we had a couple of weeks where we were off doing other things, so I thought I got to pull myself together for the next episode of Cooking with Liz. So here's what I'm going to do. I was thinking like something like simple and tasty I could make in honor of Patricia Wells, who was our guest on the show last week, you know, from her gorgeous apartment in Paris, in honor of Patricia Wells and in honor of Lost and Found in Paris. What could I make that would be in the spirit of the book and just good cooking from France? So, and something within my skill set. So, and that I can do in 30 minutes on YouTube.
Okay. There's some parameters.
Those are the parameters, Julie. That's right. So that's why I'm going to make, Patricia Wells has a recipe for mini croque monsieur's, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? Just tasty little mini, that's a grilled cheese and ham sandwich. And she's got a little, what are the little pickles called on top? She's got a cornichon on top. She has designer toothpicks through the cornichon into the mini croque monsieur. It's anyway, it really looks adorable. So that's what I'm going to do. But here's when I'm going to do it, because I also realized I was trying to do these episodes on Thursday nights, and I don't know, I'm just too busy now during the week to be cooking for all of you at night. Sorry. So the mini croque monsieur episode is going to be Saturday, April 23rd. Okay, so that's two Saturdays from now, if you're listening to this the week it drops. Saturday, April 23rd at 2 p.m. Pacific time. On our YouTube channel. So it's the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Satellite Sisters channel and you'll find us. Mini croque monsieur. This is well within everyone's skill set, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. And I'll post the recipe in all the usual places, including in the show notes. And I think, you know, it just sounds tasty and fun. I was going to do it on Sunday, Leanne, but then that Sunday, April 24th, isn't that the day you're at the LA Times Festival of Books?
It is, Liz. Yes.
Okay.
And I can bring a guest, so you can come with me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I'm doing this on Saturday. So I will bring myself and some mini croque monsieur's for your panel.
That's very Frenchy French, Liz. Yes.
Okay. So that's Cooking with Liz. We're done. I'll put a notice up. I'm very excited. There's tasty treats.
I think you should investigate the fancy toothpicks.
Yes.
Toothpicks. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Invest in some toothpicks.
Yes.
Yours are nice.
Yes. Yes. You're doing so much entertaining.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, but it's on YouTube for some really nobody's there, but you're right. I did. Okay. All right. Good idea. I'm going to start shopping. You know who I'm going to get on the blower?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now moving on to, it's time for Entertaining Sisters. And guess what? This is also going to be about cooking for me, because I'm sure I am not the only one who was watching the new series, Julia, on HBO. So this is, I think it's 8 or 9 episodes, not exactly sure, but it's a short series. And it's about an interesting stage in Julia Child's life. It is the first year of her cooking show, sisters.
Oh, nice.
So they really just took like this 1 year of her life, how she started the cooking show, you know, what was happening there. They were living in Cambridge, she and her husband, Paul, living in Cambridge. She goes to WGBH to do a guest spot on some super boring public television show, and she just lights it up. Anyway, so it's really a fun show. I recommend it. The woman who's playing Julia, of course, I did not write down her name. She's great. And she's not the like Meryl Streep Julia Child from Julia and Julia, who was sort of goofy and silly. This is kind of a different take on Julia Child, but still the Julia Child you'll remember from The French Chef. So she's really good. Babe Newworth is her best friend. So she's in it. She's great. David Hyde Pierce plays Paul Child. Of course, you know, my man, Stanley Tucci, played Paul Child in the movie. But okay, David Hyde Pierce is pretty good. And anyway, I totally recommend it. If you're just into she literally invented cooking shows. So very fun. And she's great. But Julie, there's even an episode where she goes back to a reunion at Smith College.
Yes.
She's
one of our most famous alumna. Yes.
And so she is a featured speaker at her college reunion. And it made me think, believe it or not, of the time you were the featured speaker at your college reunion.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. You were my sidekick, Liz.
I was your sidekick. Yeah. They wanted a little touch of Satellite Sisters at the Smith reunion. So we did it for them. Anyway, Julia Child also did that. So that's a whole episode. You'll want to watch. And it's so Smithy. That's all I'll say about that. Okay. And but then the other thing I want to mention about Julia is that HBO is producing a companion podcast called Dishing on Julia. Mm-hmm. And so I've been listening to that too. That is really good because that not only do they talk about every episode, but they talk to the writers and researchers. They talk to the food stylist about how she did the food. Anyway, if you're interested in like behind the scenes about how they do the TV show and also other people that have insights about Julia Child, it's really good. And bringing it full circle, in episode one of the Dishing on Julia podcast, the Barefoot Contessa is a guest. So you get a little Ina thrown in there. And at the end of every episode, they ask the guests, like, if you were making dinner for Julia Child, if you could have anyone at that dinner and make any dish, what would you do? And Ina Garten, or Barefoot Contessa, invites, guess who? Patricia Wells.
Oh, really? So, wow. Yeah. Okay.
She said Ina Garten never met Julia Child, but if she could, if such a dinner ever would take place, she would invite Patricia and Walter Wells because she knew that they were very close friends. And she would make Patricia's recipe that is chicken with 40 cloves of garlic.
Whew, Liz, so what a circle. Of cooking,
right?
A
lot of cooking. That a lot of names. That was multimedia recommendation. That was deep, deep, deep. Coming with a prequel recommendation. I thought that was going to be good, but
I'm done. I'm done. I have nothing more to say about any of these people. There you go.
Okay. Well, to shifting gears completely, I would like to recommend, I know many of you may have already seen it, the 1883. Now, this is the prequel to the wildly popular series Yellowstone that was written and produced by Taylor Sheridan. The prequel follows the Dutton family's journey. They leave Texas. They start in Tennessee, but they leave from Texas. They try to cross the Plains Sisters on their way to Oregon. And they're in a wagon train with these German immigrants that don't know anything about anything, but they kind of heard that Oregon was a nice place and it had trees and a mountain. So that's why they're going there. It's on Paramount. It's a series. It stars Sam Elliott, the original cowboy. He's wonderful in this. And then, as really a surprise, you have the husband and wife team of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill in this series.
Oh,
Tim McGraw is excellent. He plays James Dutton, the head of the family. He had been in the Civil War. You know, he's had a hard life, but he's going to take his family to a new and better place. He's great. Faith Hill as his wife. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's set in 1883. They're crossing the Great Plains. So she's wearing a lot of makeup where she's very dirty all the time. Because, you know, they were dirty. Yeah. I mean, it's really rough. That's really what you get from watching this. Like, my gosh, how did those settlers do this? I mean, it was the danger that they encounter is amazing. But one of the other real stars of this is Isabel May. And she plays she's fabulous in this. And she plays the 16-year-old daughter of Tim McGraw. And it is, and the story is told through her narration. And it's just wonderful. It's really, really well done. So the big question that I know you're going to ask me, sisters, is do you have to have watched Yellowstone to enjoy 1883?
Right. Yeah.
The answer is no. I think it does enhance your enjoyment. But then the more I thought about it is I think you could watch 1883 and you would enjoy watching the Yellowstone series as well. So you can go either way with this. But I highly recommend it. You know, 2 out of 3, I mean, Faith, I don't know. She's in the wagon. But Tim McGraw is a breakout star in this. We're going to see him acting in more things.
Well, he's already been in a lot of things. I mean, he was in the original Friday Night Lights movie. Like he does act.
Yeah, yeah. He's very, very good.
Okay. Why he's good. He's acted before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's my report.
Thank you, Julie. Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I have been reading away, you know, so I don't have any picks because I'm getting ready for our best beach bag books show. So I am just reading like crazy, putting down a list of books that will come out in May, May 10th. So that's why I have no recommendations because I'm just reading and saving it all up for May 10th. That is our show for this week. A big thanks to Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. We miss seeing you, but we love having you as our engineer. A big thanks to Emily Loudermilk, who does our graphic design. To see Emily's great artwork, you can follow us on Instagram at SatSisters. I'm at Leanne Dolan. Liz, what's your Instagram again? We have this conversation.
At Satellite Sister Liz.
Okay. Julie, any recollection of your Instagram?
Oldest sister something. Yeah. just Google, see what you can find. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then be sure to subscribe to Pep Talk. It keeps coming out. Like the newsletter keeps coming out. So someone said, how did I miss that you were going to be in Northern California? I live 10 minutes away. I was like, I don't know, because I mentioned it in every possible format, the show, the newsletter, you know, social media. So our newsletter is pretty complete, as are Liz's show notes. So you can always look for those things.
Yep.
But we would love to have you subscribe to Pep Talk as well. And that to do that, just go to Satellite Sisters and the newsletter subscription, satellitesisters.com. And the newsletter pop-up will come right up and you can just put in your email. It comes usually once a week in your inbox on Fridays.
And one of the great things about the newsletter is that it's super easy to share with your friends too. So you can just share that along. If you, all the friends that you want them to try listening to Satellite Sisters, Leanne, you've always got a link to the latest episode in the newsletter.
Right.
So just share it widely, people. That's what we would encourage.
Right. Yeah. I mean, multiple links of all kinds. You can go to the website to listen. You can do the direct listen. Every little thing that says listen to the podcast is a slightly different link to get you to another version of our podcast. Yeah. I mix it up, Liz. Mix it up.
Very clever.
Impressive. Impressive. Ooh,
all right. Our to-do list for the week. Well, I'm glad you reminded me it was Easter this week. Not that I haven't been emotionally preparing and spiritually, but I certainly haven't been shopping for the Easter basket. And, you know, mom used to give us shoes and socks, but I've always given my family swimsuits at Easter, you know, because it's sort of the beginning of the swimsuit season. So I got to go get some swimsuits for the boys, even though they're grown men. I got to go get some swimsuits for the grown men.
Okay.
Liz, what about you?
Okay, well, I'm going to test out a new chicken delivery service in my neighborhood, but here's why it's worth mentioning. Here's the name of the new chicken delivery service in my neighborhood is Goop Rotisserie. Can you believe that?
Is this Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow now has like Goop Foods. There's one right in my neighborhood. It's like rotisserie chicken delivered to your door. I have to try it at least once, don't I?
Yeah, do some investigative work on that. Don't even tell us what it costs, because I'm sure.
Okay, Julie, I did already investigate that, because normally my rotisserie chicken comes from the Pavilions in the neighborhood, and that's $8.99. So that's a high quality rotisserie chicken.
Uh-huh.
Goop Rotisserie, which is why I'll probably only be doing this once. $35.
Oh my God.
Liz.
Yeah, for a chicken.
Okay.
But I don't know. I just feel like, anyway.
I want to be ripped off.
You want to be ripped off? Good.
No, I got a coupon in my email because I live in the neighborhood that I'm getting a deal. So one time, but it has to be today. I have to use it today. So, because God knows I'm not ever paying $35 for a rotisserie chicken.
Oh my God.
Anyway, there's a sense of urgency. That's all. Goop, Goop Rotisserie.
That's good material. So just, it's a write-off.
Okay. Good work. Hey, my to-do is, Leanne, I am enjoying handing out your book to friends. That's what I'm working on. I've handed out a couple books, got a very positive reaction. I have more books to hand out. It's a great gift to give. And I mean, who doesn't love Paris and a good novel about Paris? So that's on my list this week.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I appreciate it all, but I appreciate that especially. Thank you. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.